O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, the hymn is very straightforward. If Christ had not been raised from death, our faith would be in vain. And we'll get to that in a minute from our 1 Corinthians 15 reading. But then in verse 2, it says, if Christ still lay within the tomb, then death would be the end, and we should face our final doom with neither guide nor friend. But now the Savior is raised up. So when a Christian dies, we mourn, yet look to God in hope. In Christ the saints arise. And then verse 3 says, if Christ had not been truly raised, his church would live a lie. His name should never more be praised. His words deserve to die. But now our great Redeemer lives. Through him we are restored. His word endures, his church revives, in Christ our risen Lord. The words just roll off my tongue. Many times I don't even have to think about them. Although today I have to confess, during the Nicene Creed, I started thinking about something else, and I fumbled on the words. But the Apostles' Creed, you know, the end, the third article, and I believe in the... How does it go again? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. See, that's what helps when other people say it. So I believe in the resurrection of the body. Yeah, we say it, you know, week in and week out. But I believe means I trust. I know it's true by faith. The resurrection of the body is a historical event. I mean, a past event that Jesus of Nazareth, he died on the cross, he was crucified, but I believe on the third day in the resurrection of the body, and I think in the Apostles' Creed it really can hold two things in that one statement, in the resurrection of the body of Jesus Christ. See, the tomb is empty because he was raised on the third day. A historical event that happened. It's central to the Christian faith. Not just that Jesus died. Absolutely, we need to know that because we're sinners. And the wages of sin is death. We can't save ourselves. Jesus died to save us. But the rest of the story, central to our Christian faith, is that he rose. That this is actually a thing that happened, that he rose in the flesh. And not only is it a historical event in the past, I believe in the resurrection of the body, but also it is an event in the future. I believe in the resurrection of this body. I believe in the resurrection of that body, and that body, and that body. Your body. Those who die in Christ will be raised in the flesh. To live. See, this confession of the resurrection of the body is something that says that bodies matter. That your body, that my body, is a gift. In fact, we don't own our bodies. That our bodies are central to our identity, our God-given identity. Human beings are both body and soul. And that we can boldly say, because Christ died and rose again, that he will redeem all things, and that bodies, human beings, will be put back together. And so not only does our body matter, but other people's body matters, that all of creation actually has significance. God created it. He says it's good. It's very good. And then sin ruins things. But God also makes a promise. A commitment, not a bargain. Well, if you do this, I'll put it back together. A promise that he follows through on. And so central to the Christian faith, our hope, it has a shape. It's not just some nebulous force out there. It has a shape, and it's Christ-shaped. It's Jesus-shaped. Because it was, it is, and it will be still all about Jesus. I believe in the resurrection of the body. I mean, I do, really. I really believe. Now, I'm not just saying that just like that here's an antiquated thought. Like, I believe in the resurrection of the body. And the more that I am around people who die, the more I cling to this hope. And the more that I see in each day of my life, my body gets a little bit worse. And some of you who know me well know I'm a bit of a hypochondriac. Whatever my next sickness could be the one that leads to death. I recently scraped my shin on something the other night, and I'm pretty sure I may just be a preseptic, but it's coming. So I don't know. The Lord knows. We laugh because we know these bodies break down, and yet I believe in the resurrection of the body. That Christ died for all of creation, not to abandon creation, but this is a new creation, a new heavens and a new earth. And yet I think we're tempted, I know I have been, tempted to live life in kind of a two-story thing. Like, well, there are earthly things, and then there are heavenly things. There are physical things, and then there are spiritual things. And then there's my body, and that happens to be here on the earth, but it's just a vehicle because my soul's the thing that matters, and eventually my soul will be with Jesus. Because that's what God really cares about. This earthly stuff, it's messy, it's dirty. You get scraped shins and preseptic whatever things. But no, Christ came to save all of us and came in a body. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, a little baby who grew into a man who would heal the sick. And people came to Him. They flocked to Him. He not only did He heal them, but He cast out demons. He preached the Word with authority, the Word that actually did something and does do something. And yet still, the resurrection of the body, I think, can be it is an awesome thing, but maybe a terrifying thing, because it might force us to look at things differently, like our own bodies and how we treat them, like other people's bodies and how we regard them. In the end, though, you are your body. And that may not be popular today, to say you are your body, because you, well, wait a minute, my body doesn't always work right, and I don't like things about my body. But God gave you that body, and in the end, it will be restored. We're not there yet, but human beings were not meant to live or be disembodied. We'll get to that in a minute. But let's look again at 1 Corinthians 15, 1-20. It's this great resurrection chapter in the Bible, and St. Paul says, "Now I would remind you, brothers..." And sisters too. I'm a sisters too. Everyone listen. This is for everybody. Of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. The gospel, the good news, it's in Jesus Christ. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, and he says, unless you believed in vain. In vain. I think the Greek word is kenos there. It's something. Believing in vain is something that's empty or foolish or worthless or, well, pointless. I mean, there are nice things about being a Christian. It feels good to come together on a Sunday morning and sing songs and ring bells and just be together, have a half a donut, whatever. We're not just a collection of nice people telling each other how nice it is to be. Yeah, you look nice today. It's so much deeper than that. So St. Paul in verse 3 says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received." He didn't make this up. God gives this to him, that Christ died for our sins, right? That's central. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, just as he said, that he was buried, just as he said, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, just as he said. And then he appeared to Cephas, Kephas. I think that's another name for Petros. You remember from last week? I think it was last week. You know who that is, right? Rocky? Yeah, Peter? Yeah. And then to the 12, right? Peter, the one who denied, and then specifically gets mentioned the one he first appeared to. And then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, like in the flesh. You know how he appeared to Thomas, and Thomas, he said, "Reach out and touch this." And he ate food with them. He was really there in the flesh. And most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep, have died. And then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. And then Paul, in an honest and yet humble way, self-deprecating almost, he says, "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But because of the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain." It wasn't empty or worthless or pointless. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. And then he gets to the problem here in verse 12. He says, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? So if we say, well, look, the scriptures are God's word, and we consider them authoritative, and I believe that, and I believe that I'm a poor, miserable sinner, and I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I absolutely need that forgiveness, but I wouldn't go so far to say he was raised from the dead. Come on now. That's getting a little crazy. Everybody knows that doesn't happen to human beings. He says, well, how can you, some of you say that? And he goes on to say, look, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And then he gets right to the linchpin here in verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. It's just hot air, empty, worthless, pointless. And not only that, your faith, your hope, your trust, it's in vain for nothing. I mean, there might be a temporary soothing or salve, but in the end, if Christ hasn't been raised, all of this is a sham. And so the resurrection of the body of Jesus Christ, we say, well, that's a historical event, that there are eyewitnesses that it's true. But sometimes I think, well, look, I mean, it's, you know, spirituality is this thing that's up here, and it's really difficult to define, and my spirituality might be a little bit different than your spirituality. And you know, at a little bit deeper level than that, none of you will ever know the true me, because the true me is my soul, and it's what's inside of me. And once the true me can get out of this body, then, oh my goodness, it will flourish like a phoenix rising. It will just be tremendous. And some of you maybe smile because we've been talking about a lot of different things in the Wednesday morning Bible study, and we just talked about the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting on Wednesday, and I've come back to, and some of you will think that I'm being insensitive, I would guess, and some of you will laugh, but I say that my true self is a 7-year-old Filipino girl. Right? And some of you are like, I don't have any idea what you're talking about, but look, who are you to judge? Because inside, I am a 7-year-old Filipino girl. And this shell, it's not really me. But wait a minute. See, I believe in the resurrection of the body says that God is, my identity is my body. Right? I'm body and soul. I'm a human being. This is the way God created me. And I do not actually believe I'm a 7-year-old Filipino girl. But we live in a time, and I don't think this is new. There's nothing new under the sun. So even back then, people saying, well, look, I'll take all this stuff, but I don't believe in the resurrection of the body. Because if I believe in the resurrection of the body, that would mean that, like, bodies matter, and my body matters, and how I treat it matters, and how I view other people, and all of creation matters. Paul says, look, if you don't believe in the resurrection, then your faith is empty, pointless, in vain. He says, we are even found to be misrepresented of God in 15, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it's true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. Because he was just a guy who was a pretty cool teacher, who had some nice ideas, and he was all about love, and he died. But he was really a good lover. He was a loving guy. Really nice. He says, that's not the end of the story. Because just as he said, he was raised in the body. And then those who have fallen asleep, he says, if it's true that Christ has not been raised, have perished. And if in Christ we have hope in this life only, then we are most people, we are most of all people, most to be pitied. We're just living a lie, a fairy tale, a myth. But then in 20, he turns it back around. He says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And that is exciting and terrifying and life-changing. It should be that these bodies matter. One of my early experiences it was awful. First year in the ministry, awful in the dual sense, mostly bad, but a few awesome moments, awe-filled moments, was to be in the hospital in Mattoon, and to get this call at 10 o'clock at night, as I was a volunteer chaplain, to go into an emergency room where the coroner met me before I went in there and said, I need you to help separate a mother from her daughter. Her daughter just died in a car accident. The little girl was 5 years old. And to sit there in the room with this family that I didn't know, about a dozen people, to sit on the gurney next to mom who's holding the little girl, who didn't want to let go, and rightfully so. This is my daughter, and if I let, I'll never see her. To try to figure out, oh, you're Christians, and it sounds like they're Christians. And then it hit me in a way that it had never hit me to that point. See, she didn't want to let go, because this is my daughter. I gave birth to her. She didn't want to let go because she'll never hold her again. But to say in that moment, because Christ has been raised, those who die in Christ will be raised. Like in the body, like the tyranny of sin and death that the devil would hang over us and want us to despair because there's no hope. Like death is all there is, and when you say goodbye, that's it. But Christ has come to say, no, it's all going to be undone. He's going to reverse the curse. It's a promise. And I could say to that mother, because Christ has been raised in the resurrection, you will hold your daughter again. And her eyes will be open, and she will breathe, and you will smile and be together. It's not just a nice idea to get us through a moment, but a tangible thing. Just like your body is tangible, for good and ill. Because Christ has been raised, those who die in Christ will be raised. For all the promises of God, in 2 Corinthians, St. Paul says, find their yes in Him, in Jesus. And what's true for Jesus is true for those who are in Christ Jesus. Just last night, little Jessica and Julia were baptized, and baptized into Christ's death and His resurrection. Because Christ has been raised, they will be raised. This is what we say at funerals. And again, twice last week on Friday, it was for Diana Roundtree. I stood there at her casket. It was in the funeral home. Casket was open. And it's not always open here, but I said, may God the Father who created this body, like touching her body, may God the Son, who by His blood redeemed this body, may God the Holy Spirit, who sanctified this body to be His temple, keep these remains until the day of the resurrection of all flesh. Diana will breathe again. Her body will be raised. Where is her soul? Well, it's with the Lord. No better place to be. But on that day when Christ returns, when the last trumpet sounds, she will be raised in a perfect, glorified body. And that's when the mortal will put on immortality, and the corruptible will put on the incorruptible. Then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And St. Paul at the end of 1 Corinthians 15, he says, well, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? And I can hardly say those words without tears in my eyes. Because I know unless Jesus comes back first, one of us here will be the next one to die. Yeah. That stinks. And we'll mourn. Could be me. Could be you. But what we say in Christ Jesus is that death, the sting of death, one day will be taken away. But right now we mourn. Right? That's what we were just saying. We mourn. So when a Christian dies, we mourn, yet look to God in hope. In Christ the saints arise, because our hope has a shape. It's not just something out there. It's in the shape of Jesus, the crucified and risen one, the one who is raised, the one who swallows up death in the end in victory, the one who promises, but we're not there yet, that He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. I believe in the resurrection of the body. That this body, when it finally gives out, unless Jesus comes back first, will be raised. I believe in the resurrection of the body, that the children who were born with special needs, who were born missing limbs or different functions in their body, that in the resurrection, they're perfect. Because that's not the way it should be. The people's bodies don't work right. It's not the way it should be that people should die. We know that from the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were not created to die. And Adam is not just a body, nor is he a soul. He's both. It's the curse of sin that brings the separation of body and soul. From dust you have come, and to dust you shall return. We'll hear that on Ash Wednesday, on March 6th. And that's law. but then hear the gospel. Because Christ is raised, the dust that breaks down when your body decomposes will be put back together in a body that will live forever. The resurrection of the body is the end of the story, and it's the beginning of the story. It's the beginning of the new creation. The resurrection shows that the will of God, the good and gracious will of God, will finally prevail in the end, no matter what. As J.R.R. Tolkien says, that in the end, all the sad things come untrue. The resurrection of the body, see, the truth is, death stinks. And it's sad. And we can say it. We can call it what it is. Because in Jesus, we can be that bold. And then in Jesus, we can say, but death will be swallowed up in victory, and life and light are all that will be there, and there won't even be a shadow. When all of creation restored. Wow. So I believe in the resurrection of the body. Mine and yours, because of Jesus, the one who has won the victory for us. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. May the peace that passes understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.